This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, today, as we know, is Palm Sunday, and I'm sure all of us have heard this story numerous times, right? Jesus rides into town and people go wild and they throw palm branches and the like over the, you know, in the road and all that. But there is a little bit more to the story than this. And we also have to ask, what can we learn from this? What can this story actually teach us? And the first thing we need to keep in mind is this, is that the triumphal entry did not necessarily just begin there. A few weeks or months before was Luke 9:51, and it begins what scholars call the travel narrative. But you see, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And then when he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. What does this tell us? You know, yes, Jesus knew what he was getting himself into. Jesus was well aware of what the situation would bring. Now, for us, what this means is that when we are going to undertake any task, we need to count the cost. We need to be prepared for what might happen. We need to have that sense of reflection where we just know this is what we are supposed to do. Now, back in Springfield, Missouri, I was working to recruit missionaries, believe it or not, and we had sent out the publicity and all of this, and one time a letter came in, and you know, I had been thinking about and wanting to have somebody say, I just want to go and get out into the field and do great works for God and all of that. Well, I got a letter that said more or less precisely that. But there's that gut feeling on the inside. And something told me this wasn't right. And I thought about it and thought about it. On reflection, what came to me was this, is that there is no indication in this letter that this guy has counted the cost. There is nothing in there that says, yeah, I went to my mission board, I talked to the elders of my church, I read scripture and I prayed, and with all that in mind, this is what I should do. Instead, it was just this, I just want to go. And I thought, well, I'm grateful for his ambition, but this guy is an accident waiting to happen. Because the first thing that goes wrong, this guy is going to want to pack up his stuff and he's going to want to come home. There is that element where we need to know if we are undertaking a ministry for the Lord that it is prayed through, it is scripturally sought, and the people who are going to do it, and if that's us, we need to know, like Jesus, what we're getting ourselves into. And then be willing to go do it. Because then we're not going to be surprised and disappointed or freaked out. We're going to know what we should do and then be able to do it. Now we continue on in Luke 19. The next verses say, and it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Now, what do we get from that? It says that Jesus knows the situation. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going to happen. He is not going to be surprised by anything that takes place. He is totally aware of all that's going to happen, and he is in control. So what does that say to us? Is that from our previous point, if we get the sense of call to go somewhere and do something for God, we know that he knows what's going on. We know that he knows the situation better than we do. We know that he knows all that's going to take place, and that we can trust our lives and our fortunes and our sacred honor to him. We can put ourselves completely in his hand and know that whatever happens, he's already known about it, he's anticipated it, and he's going to be able to see us through it. There's not going to be any surprises like, Lord, and we give him some scenario, and God's not going to say back, I didn't know that. He's going to say is, I know that, and that's why I sent you there. But anyway, we know that he knows, and there is no surprises there. Now, what happens here next is they got the colt. Jesus sat on it, and he starts riding into town, and he's going down the descent of the Mount of Olives, and he's on his way, and the people go nuts. They start throwing palm branches, and they throw their coats and their tunics and whatever on the road, and they're just shouting, Hosanna to the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, and all these other things. They are just belting it out, basically. And so we know that Jesus already knew this was going to happen. So what do we get from that? You see, Jesus, when he was hearing all of this, was likely not impressed. And it didn't move him. He wasn't going, oh, these people love me. He didn't do that. Because guess what? He knew they were fickle. Because there's a verse in John chapter 2 where it says he didn't worry about what the people thought, because he didn't trust themselves to them, because he knew what was in a man. Jesus knew these people were hallelujah one day and kill him the next. He knew what was going to go on. And so what do we get from that? Well, we can take away from this a really good point. It's really sound, and it's something we need to keep in mind. We don't depend on what we're doing, or we don't depend on people's opinions or approval for what we're going to do. We don't sit there and worry about public opinion. We don't have focus groups and take polls and say, well, today I should not do this or something. We don't depend on the public's opinion and approval for what we do. Why? It's because in the next verses, the Pharisees always say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and here they go again. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he said, no. I can't do that, because if I did and they quiet down, even the rocks and the trees and the hills would sing. Well, what do we take away from that? Is also, not only should we be not swayed or influenced by public opinion or what people think of us, we also should not be swayed by the grumbling naysayers. Because you know good and well, as well as I do, that there is always somebody who is not going to like what you're doing. And if you are relying on that, you will quit 30 minutes into your project. Because somebody is going to object to what you're doing. Someone is going to tell you, boy, are you stupid. This isn't going to work. Why are you doing that? You know, you are being really foolish. Yada, 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 yada. And you say, okay, thank you for sharing. And you go on your way. You keep doing what the Lord has called you to do or told you to do, and you do it until when? Until he tells you to stop, or until he tells you to do something else. For those of us who have been in the military, and there are a few of us here, you know that you follow the last set of orders you were given until when? You get a new set of orders from your officer in charge or whatever. You keep doing it until you get a new set of orders. And that's for the servants of the Lord too. We keep doing what God has told us to do until he tells us to stop or he gives us a new set of orders. Now, Jesus is continuing on and he gets to the city. And what does Jesus do? He weeps over it. And he says, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. So Jesus is weeping over the city of Jerusalem. And also, by the way, he's prophesying the destruction of the temple. But as moving as that passage is, it can also speak to us. And what does it say? It says that we should be weeping over the state and condition of the lost. We should be crying for the people who don't know Jesus. We should be shedding tears and weeping because of all of those people we know of who are not going to go to heaven. And we should be weeping for those people. We should care enough about them to be concerned for their eternal salvation and their destination. And if we can't do that, if we are not moved by knowing the plight of the unsaved, then we need to go get a heart check from the Lord. Because if we don't care if people are perishing, our heart's not in the right place. And not only that, you see, Jesus is prophesying. So what this also tells us is that with those lost people, we need to love them enough to warn them about what's coming. Now, there are a lot of people out there who will laugh at us and say we're nuts and whatever. Don't worry about that. Your job, again, our job is just to tell them. What they do with it is on them. But we warn them and we weep over them, or we weep over them and we warn them, and then we let them decide what to do with that information. It's sort of like, you know, the old story, we probably all heard it, about walking down the road and it's raining and it's pouring down and there's this giant pothole and the bridge is washed out down the road a bit. And you see this car racing by and you say, now that bridge is out and they're going to plunge down into the river. Should I warn them? Yeah. You know, do your best, try to flag them down, and if they ignore you, oh well. But you do your best to try to warn them of the impending destruction that they are going to face, because they're going on the way of destruction. And that's what we need to be doing with all those lost people out there. And let me tell you, there are plenty of them out there. There are lots of lost people. And as a matter of fact, if you reflect from Scripture, you can probably get a good picture of the fact that there are more lost people than there are saved people. So we have a good number of them to choose from. And so it's our task to warn them. And again, what they do with it is up to them. But our task is to tell them. And if we tell them, like the Lord told to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3, if you warn the wicked about their ways and you tell them of their coming destruction and they die in their sin, you have saved yourself because you warned them. But if you don't say anything, it's on you because you didn't warn them. So we need to be about the business of warning these people, and if we need to, loving them to Jesus or whatever. But our task, as we see from Jesus in this passage, is to weep over the lost and to warn them of their coming destruction. And in that way, we will be doing our duty, or what we should be doing according to what the Lord says. And then we can have peace in our heart, because if we do what God says do, He's in it, and He'll take care of us in it. Amen? Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.